Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. The guy to my left is Jeff Feagles. I am John Schmelk. A little switcheroo this week. Feags in today. It'll be Lance Meadow and myself coming your way on Friday. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number if you want to talk some Giants football. We'll continue to look back at the disappointing loss to the Green Bay Packers, and we'll start to look ahead as well to the game against the Baltimore Ravens. And anything else you want to talk about, of course, we are here for you. Again, 201-939-4513. And we will get to your tweets at hashtag Giants Chat as well. All right, Feeks.
What's up?
We haven't talked to you on Big Blue Kickoff since the game Sunday night against the Packers.
It wasn't too long ago.
But if you did listen to the Giants postgame show on WFAN, you heard Feeks' take on it, so I don't want to take too much time on it. And I haven't talked to you guys yet since that game against the Packers. And, you know, Jeff, to me, Carl Banks said on FAN yesterday he thinks, you know, the offense right now is broken, but it's
fixable.
Very fixable. Yep. And it's easy to repair. I'm not going to use that word broken just because I think it is a bad connotation based on what was said a couple years ago at the postseason press conference. But the offense is struggling. The offense has problems. The offense needs to get better because if it doesn't, the Giants aren't going to win a whole lot of football games this year. And it really is that simple. The defense, for the most part, kept the team in the game against the Packers. Given all the injuries they had in the secondary, I'm not sure you could have asked for a much better performance than only allowing 23 points. Maybe the pass rush could have been a little bit better. They did force two takeaways. They won the turnover battle for the first time all year. But I thought the defense did as well as it could, given the circumstance, to keep the Giants in the game and give them a chance to make it a one-score game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, talking soft with the defense, I think, you know, check the box. They got the turnovers, okay? I thought the defense gave the offense great field position in the game. One thing that was lacking and still continues to you scratch your head, and you and I don't have much hair to scratch on our head, but, you know, the pass rush is, you know, some of the times that Aaron Rodgers was able to sit back there and time to throw the football, that puts a lot of pressure on that secondary. And even with the guys that were in there, I got to take my hat off to DRC. You know, obviously he was hurting in the game, but he really sucked it up and really went in there and continued to play even when he was hurt. And that's to commend him for that, because that's hard to do when you're running around, things like that. But pressure on the quarterback seems to be, you know, a problem with the defense. Now, offensively.
Well, you know, I want to say one real thing. They did get some pressure from time to time, but they're simply not getting home. I think, what,
there
four sacks this year for the Giants? I think it's the least in the NFL. I got to double check the number. But given the fact you have Olivier Vernon, you have Jason Pierre-Paul, you have Jonathan Hankins, look, I get pressure's important and quarterback knockdowns and hurries are important. I'm not minimizing that. But the sack is the play.
The sack is the play.
That's what puts you in a second and 16, a second and 18.
Or maybe it's a third down.
Or you strip the ball and you force a fumble.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever one of those things it is, that's one of those game-changing plays the Giants just aren't making enough of.
And it's a game-changing play.
Right.
You know, it could come in their own, you know, they're deep in their own territory, a strip sack, fumble, all that kind of stuff, you know, and then the defense gets the ball to the offense, and then, you know, if the offense can put up some points, then that would be good.
You just know, to give you an idea, Jeff, I'm sorry for interrupting, but
right.
I want to slam this point home for you.
Slam it home.
In the third quarter, the Giants went into the third quarter trailing 17-6. That was the score at halftime, right?
Yep.
So the Giants punt their first possession. They come back. The Packers punt their next possession. The Giants start the half. And by the way, they had great starting field position the whole game around their own 40-yard line, the best all year, which makes their, you know, 16-point performance even worse,
yeah,
given how good their field position was. But the Giants got the ball on their own 47. They gained 6 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, 18 yards. The 18-yard pass was the one to Bobby Rainey when they motioned about wide, caught the pass. And they ran a really well-designed screen pass where they ran a play action to Paul Perkins, did the fake end-around to Odell Beckham Jr., and if you want to deeper look at that play, go to Giants.com. My anatomy of the play is up there. I kind of take pictures and I look at the play and how it developed. It was a really well-designed play, and they gained 13 yards to get it down to the Packer 11-yard line. The Giants have it first and 10 on the Packers 11-yard line, and what happens? Nick Perry gets around the edge. I think he beat Eric Flowers in that particular play, and he sacks Eli Manning for a 6-yard loss. Then you have it second and 16 on the Packer 17-yard line.
Second,
you know,
and 16.
How hard it is when you're in the red zone and you have to go 16 yards in two plays when you can't go over the top because of the end line? it's near. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's very improbable.
Well, that game was tough because of the way they were playing their coverage.
Right, and the bottom line here, Jeff, then you had a first and 10 at the 11. That turns into a second and 16 at the 17. Your chances of scoring a touchdown go from, let's say, 60% to 15% or 10%. You
and
just
your play
don't
calling.
Have a great chance. And your play calling changes completely. So after that sack, they run it for 4 yards. And then Eli Manning gets pressure and he scrambles right for a yard. So it just changes the entire drive, and that turns a potential seven-point drive into a three-point drive. And that's why I call sacks potentially game-changing plays. Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
And to your point, is you're exactly right, but the defense isn't getting those game-changing plays.
Correct.
And, you know, offensively, I think that, you know, this team is I don't even know the word, and we've made it. It's broke. You know, it's miserable. I think miserable would be the word that I would come up with. I have a problem with, you know, just them staying in the same formations, using that personnel grouping that they had, that 11 so many times. I think the teams are starting to figure it out. I was watching a couple games, you know, some things yesterday, trying to figure out, you know, watching these other teams and how they put these personnel groupings in their games and change their game plan a little bit just to mix it up, you know. And I think that the loss of Donnell not having that extra tight end is a little bit of a problem because last week's game, the middle of the field, they gave you the middle of the field.
Yeah, and look, Shona and Carl Banks, rather, on strategy, which is also on Giants.com inside the film room, detailed it. The way they Packers set up their defense, and I'm actually going to use a sheet of paper here. Maybe you guys will be able to see it back at the thing. So they have it set up where this is the middle of the field, you'll think about it, and their safeties, let's say these are the hashes.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers safeties were lined up all the way out here.
Take
so
if
you guys can see this at home, I'm not sure if you can or not. Those are the hashes. The safeties are all the way out here, right? No chance, Dave? Sorry. The safeties are set up outside the hash marks. I gave it a shot. What can
it's
I tell
good.
You?
I, at least I can see
so
it.
The bottom line is that middle of the field between the safeties inside those hash marks was pretty open. You saw Will Tine that one play, how open he was. And that, to me,
that was a big play.
That might have been the biggest play of the game.
Yeah,
if you listen
that's
to
a touchdown.
And if you listen to the radio broadcast, we named that our turning point of the game
right, for
a reason. Eli Manning had Will Tye wide open in the middle of the field. It could have been a better throw. He should have put it over his inside shoulder and thrown it not quite as far down the field. He made Will Tye reach out and back over his outside shoulder, which is bad ball placement.
Right.
At the same time, Tye could have made a wonderful catch and ran for a touchdown too, so I think there's a little blame on both sides to go around there. I don't think it was a great throw, and he still could have caught it. But that's a game changer. The next play, the Giants get sacked, and Eli fumbles, and there goes the drive. You go from 7 points to 0 points. The Packers get it back and kick a field goal. So you're looking at a 10-point swing based on one missed throw. And it's another situation, Jeff, where we talk about the defense not making the big plays, though Janoris Jenkins did have two picks. Those were two big plays.
Yeah,
the pass rush isn't making the big plays, but the Giants' offense isn't making any big plays still yet either. Still only one scoring play of over 20 yards this year in 5 games. Can't win football games that way.
And really, when you talk about the Will Tye play, you talk about the play we just went over, the sequence there, first and 10 on the 11-yard line, right? And then they get a sack, then that's a potential touchdown there. So, and really, when you think about this game, losing by only a touchdown, they have plenty of opportunities to win this game. I thought that the defense played well enough to win the football game, okay, despite the no pressure or strip sacks that we're talking about. But, you know, you're not going to get those all the time. But the fact is they did get two turnovers. They didn't stop the run well until Lacy got hurt and went out of the game because he was pretty much running all over the place. But the defense did play well enough for them to win the game. The offense is what really it's just, you know, and this is just you looking at the scoring here. You got 27 the last three games going back, 16 this game, 10 last week, and 27 the week before. But you mix in a 16 win against the New Orleans Saints. And remember, that defense was not very good against the Saints.
And only 20 points against the Cowboys, who don't have a very good defense. So the Giants have only scored more than 20 points this year. I mean, great. So 21 or more once.
Once, yeah.
That's a huge problem.
And their red zone, their third downs, they were I'm just going off of what I remember from the other night.
They were 1 of 2 in the red zone. I thought it was 1 of 3.
Where were
I guess
they 3 for something on third
and then
down.
Third downs 4 of 13, 31%.
Yeah, you know, and on the season they were right at around 38%. So they're just, you know, they were under their average, which
right,
is even worse. But So how do you fix this offense, John?
I was going to ask you. You're the former player. I'm just sitting here.
I feel like if we wanted to start off with the quarterback, we all know who's been following Eli long enough to know that when he has time and when he has good technique and footwork, he's able to deliver the ball the way he wants and throw it. When there's pressure, and I think it goes back to any of us, if you get hit once really hard, and I'm going back to the Washington game.
Chris Baker.
You think that, you know, it's a little bit in your mind, and a lot of times you can lose confidence in things. I feel like that's kind of what's happening here. The offensive line is just, you know, they're not providing the protection that Eli wants. I feel like he's being asked to get rid of the ball extremely quickly, which also affects his timing and his footwork. But he will tell you, and we all can tell him, that he has to play better. That's the quarterback position. The offensive line, you know, coming into this game or even last week, I think they were had him rated up there in the top five offensive linemen in the group in the league.
I'm not sure that's going to be the case after the Packer game.
You're going to move out of that slot.
You know, honestly, I thought the offensive line did a pretty good job against Minnesota. I really thought they did. I thought they gave Eli
no sacks.
And here's the thing, and I think this gets back to your original point. Against Green Bay, I think Eli was, I don't want to say rightfully flustered, but it's understandable given how much pressure he was under and how sloppy the pocket was over the course of the game. But I will say this too, and you said it as well, there were plenty of plays against the Packers, but I thought even more so against Minnesota when Eli probably had more time than he thought he did.
Right.
And
absolutely.
I think it comes back to the word that you used, and that's trust. And I'm not sure right now that, you know, he has a ton of confidence that if he has to take that second or third read based on his feet, like you said, it doesn't seem like he's comfortable making that second or third read. He doesn't think he's going to get blasted.
Because we'll look back on the tape, and we're able to do that. When you're live, you know, everything's flying around in a game, you don't get a chance to do that. But you look at some of the open receivers that he's missed, that's why. He's not going through that progression because he's being asked to get rid of the ball quickly and not having enough time to go to his second or maybe third or the fourth progression. Mm-hmm. But not to mention the throws, the errant throws. He missed a lot of open receivers in last week and the week before, and he overthrew some key crucial that Will Tye play. I really believe that was one of the biggest turning points in the game. That is a true fire touchdown there.
And by the way, I think he probably would have thrown an interception on that underthrown ball to Cruz if Cruz didn't pull the cornerback down from behind.
Yeah, that was a good play.
A very veteran move by Victor Cruz, by the way.
And you know what? A lot of times the receivers have to become defenders.
Absolutely.
when that happens like that. Mm-hmm. You know, offensively, I really think that, you know, teams have figured out this these three receivers and what they're going to force them to do. They take the outside routes away from them. So collectively, you got to go in and try to do something to get back in the groove of this offense, because you know that this is a copycat league. They're going to continue to do it until you can prove that you can take it away.
And Jeff, to me, there's a second aspect to this that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. And the reporters and the players all say, yeah, teams are dropping two safeties deep on us. The Packers did it. It's a consistent thing that we've seen the last four games. And frankly, at this rate, everyone's seen it. So every single team is going to do this until the Giants beat it. And we talked about this last week. The one way you do it, you just mentioned it, you do deeper drops, you attack deep down the middle of the field in between those two deep safeties, and you hit it that way like they almost did with Will Tye. That's one way to beat it. But to me, the easiest way to beat this type of defense the Giants are seeing is pounding the football.
Run the ball.
If you only have two safeties deep and you're a nickel defense, which teams almost always are against the Giants because of those three wide receiver sets, you're looking at four defensive linemen and two linebackers in the box. That's six guys. You have five offensive linemen and a tight end. That's six on six. It should be a block per man. You should be able to win that every time, and you should be getting 4 to 7 to 8 yards per carry consistently, and that's how you get teams out of that two-safety-deep defense.
You pound them,
you pound them, and you pound them, and you make them bring the safety up. And until that happens, Jeff, to me, we could talk about Eli being more accurate, the offensive line protecting better. Do you know what solves all those issues? Being in second and two. Being in third and three.
Right.
You know what? You can't do that. Eli can throw the pass to the running back on second and two or third and three in the flat if he's feeling pressure. But if you're in third and seven and third and eight, you can't do that. And you're in third and seven and third and eight because you can't run the ball consistently enough. This week against the Packers, the team couldn't run it at all. They had a lot of issues. and it was against 6 and 7 man fronts. It's not like the Packers were dropping 8th man into the box. He had an occasional
They played a run well.
They did. You had an occasional run blitz in there. In fairness, Clinton Dix made a couple really nice plays coming in on those run blitzes. But you got to run the ball better to get one of those safeties into the box to open up more space, throwing the football. And I think the 2 weeks prior against Minnesota, I think they ran the ball better than people thought they would. Yeah. I thought they could have committed to it a little bit more in the second half. And I think against Washington, the same deal. They could have committed to the run a little bit more in the second half in that game. And to me, based on the talent you have here, but you talk about formations and stuff, and I agree with you. But look, you only have two healthy tight ends, and one's a rookie seventh-round draft pick. You don't have a fullback on the roster.
No.
It limits your ability to play 21 personnel, which is two running backs and a tight end.
Yep.
In fact, you can't do that because you don't have a fullback, period. And it's hard to play 12 personnel because you only have the two healthy tight ends, and one, again, is a rookie seventh-round pick that's still learning and figuring things out. So what other personnel can you use? You can use, you know, you can use 10 personnel and have four wide receivers out there
Zero.
If you want. And I guess in the 11 personnel, you can – and by the way, personnel, the way these groupings work, folks, the number is very simply – the first number is number of running backs in the game. Second number is running – is number of tight ends in the game. So that's what the personnel group represents there, just so you understand what we're talking about. In that 11 personnel with the three wide receivers, one running back, and one tight end, you can, I think, be a little bit more creative, like you said, with the formation and the way you use them.
Yeah.
Stack receivers. And I thought in the beginning – parts of the game against the Packers, we saw a couple of trips formations mm-hmm. and things like that. We saw the creative play design on the screen with the fake end around. I think some of that stuff is, like you're saying, could be some stuff you use more in the future.
But bottom line is running the football.
Yes, you got to run it.
And listen, it shows you that when Rashad Jennings and Vereen are out of the lineup, that really hurts the offense, because not only can those guys catch and run the football, they also can block. And Eli has a extreme confidence in those two guys in there, knowing that they have his back.
That's
and
a
protection.
Really good point, Jeff. That's a good point.
So these other guys, you know, they're on. They Bobby Rainey, with all due respect, a lot of us didn't think he would make the team. Okay?
You did.
I did, but I'm just saying, with all due respect, a lot of other people didn't. But I'm saying, you know, there's a reason for that. Okay, we all had Shane Vereen and Rashad Jennings making the team because they're starting running backs in the National Football League. Orlean Darkwa he didn't come into training camp as the number one running back. He was a backup running back. Okay, so these guys are that for a reason. They're good on other aspects of the game, but they've been jolted into the starting positions. They're not as good as you think they are in pass and protection. But that's all that the Giants have. So they've got to be able to create a way to execute that offense with the personnel that they have.
What do you think, Jeff, about spreading either Rainey or Paul Perkins into the game and putting him out there as a wide out and go five wide, don't have a running back there? But that will at least create some space so Eli can get rid of the ball quickly. Your thoughts on that? Do you think that makes him too exposed to the pass
rush?
I think it makes it too much exposed,
and I just think that, you know, they're playing into the defense's hands, because right now we just talked about we want to run in the football.
Well, I was talking more on, like, you know, third and long, things like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that they could get it done with the three receivers they have. It's just they got to get open, you know, get mm-hmm. separation and just get open. The other thing is that it's tough to run the football against these two back-to-back weeks. Good defenses. I mean, really.
They were both excellent run defense. And by the way, the Ravens have an excellent run defense, too, so it isn't getting easier this week.
It's not, but I still think that, you know, you still have to be somewhat committed to trying to pound the football.
And again, but here's the thing, Jeff, to me, if a team stops the running game but they're stopping it with eight guys, I'm not saying that's
out.
A win, but that's fine. Because if they're committing eight guys to stop the run, do you know what that means? You got one-on-ones outside with your wide receivers.
Win your matchup.
So it helps you. You just can't have them stop the run with six or seven guys. That's when it kills your offense.
Yeah. I think that Donnell being out of the lineup, he's your 6'6" guy that really could have helped you down the middle of the field some of those routes.
He would have been tall enough to catch that Eli pass.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, the young guy.
Terrell Adams.
Yeah, I thought. You know, I'll tell you one play I really was impressed with him is that he caught a pass and he knew he had to get out of bounds. I know it sounds really simple. It really does. But, you know, that just shows me that the kid's got a little bit of intelligence,
yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Giants drafted him because the upside with him is he's a decent blocking guy. He's very athletic.
He has straight-ahead speed, and he's tall.
Exactly. And so, you know, look, I promise you're going to see a little bit more of him this week because I think he showed a little bit in that game. But
and no word, by the way, if Berhe or Donnell are out of the concussion protocol yet. We'll know more later on today and tomorrow about that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, those guys coming back will help. But, you know, those concussions are tricky. Every person is different.
Oh, every concussion is different.
That's what I mean. Yeah, they're all different. You know, some of them are, hey, I got hit, I'll be back in a week. Some of them take three or four.
Right.
Maybe, you know, so. But, you know, really, I think it's time for the Giants need a win desperately. You and I talked a little bit before the show, John, that this game coming up is very crucial. It's a home game. You want to win all your games at home and really kind of get off this losing streak and get back in things. You know, when we talk about the schedule, did all of us think that they were going to go on the road and beat Minnesota and
nope.
beat Packers? I think we all thought that they could beat Washington at home and mm-hmm. the Giants. And realistically, we probably all had the team 3-2 at this point.
Yeah.
But they're a game behind that. So I think that it's important now. The Baltimore Ravens just fired their offensive coordinator.
Marty
whether that's
Morningwig
a good or a
in.
Bad thing, I don't think it bodes well.
I agree.
Because it's from a game planning perspective. Now, listen, they're not going to go and change the whole offense just because they have a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but
they
are calling,
exactly. There's
going to
be some tendency changes in there. There's
right.
going to be some different type of personnel and line, all that kind of stuff. So, but you know what? If you're a professional defense, you'll be able to make adjustments, or you should make adjustments to that. I thought that. The defense in the Packers game at the beginning of the game did not look all that well, and I think that Spags did make some adjustments at halftime because they played very well at the second half.
And I want to update you on two other injuries in regards to the Giants' defense. No word yet on Eli Apple and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. My guess is that the team is going to be pretty cautious with Eli Apple, given after just six plays he was back out of the game. Granted, a different injury. I think it was on the same leg. Do we know that, Dave, if Shepard was the groin on the same side, though, as the hamstring? I'm not sure if it was or not. But either way, I imagine they'll be pretty cautious with Eli Apple, make sure he's healthy before put him back in there. And look, I give Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie all the credit in the world. He gutted the hell out of that game.
Right.
He really did. But, boy, I mean, he can't run. He could barely follow guys in motion across the field. I mean, if you're going to put him out there, he's not the same guy. Luckily, the Ravens don't have a dynamic passing game here. So, you know, like the Viking game, it's not going to, like, hurt you in terms of them throwing it 45 times.
Sure.
They want to run the ball. But still, it's important to get those guys back.
But I think that Flacco is the kind of guy that, you know, I think he's tired of throwing these little short passes. He's a long baller. That's his game.
And they have guys that can go long,
oh,
too.
Yeah. And I think that Marty Morning, he's going to say, okay, guy. All right, Joe, what do you want to do this week?
Play action.
I want to throw it long.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
So hopefully Nat Berhe can get back in the lineup because they do miss him at the safety position.
And no word on Darian Thompson yet either. I imagine, though, he'll probably have a week of individual stuff before he goes full and then comes back.
He didn't even make the trip.
He was still in a boot last week.
Yeah.
So. Actually, I think he was actually
out
there.
Did he make
there.
The trip?
I think
oh, no, you know what
it
was? It was Berhe. Berhe and Donnell that
didn't
make the trip. Yeah.
Correct. All right, here we go. We don't know the longer there, folks. One other thing real quick. This is the comment from Ben McAdoo on the Eric Flowers thing in the locker room. I just want to put it out there. I talked to Eric. Jerry Reese talked to Eric. PR talked to Eric. We had a chance to sit him down. He called and spoke with Jordan. He apologized. He understands that he can't behave that way. It is unacceptable and is important for us all to have a professional relationship with the media, players, and coaches. All discipline will be handled in-house. Now it's time for your calls. Wow, he's never first up, but he must be anxious to talk about the game because he's number one on my caller list. He is Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len,
what's up, Len?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, listen, just the first light comment. This really is a big game for me for no other reason than if we lose this game, I'm going to have to listen to my mailman all the way to March.
Is your mailman for football? Okay. I got you.
I listen to him all through baseball season. I don't want to listen to him all the way to March on football. John, let me ask you a question and then over to Jeff.
Yeah.
You know, you're drawing it up on paper, John.
You can't see it, though.
What makes you think pounding the ball is going to work? And why? And
I'm not telling you it's an easy solution and it's going.
Okay.
And if they just run it, they can run it well. I'm just saying that that's the if they can figure out how to run the ball consistently, that's
okay.
The easy solution to the problem. Now, are they capable of doing it? I guess we'll find out, won't we?
Okay. Yes, we will. We will, because I think they will try that. And but let me move to another point. You and I agreed on the end of the Redskin game. If we'd have run the ball, if we'd have pounded the ball at the end of the Redskin game, It seemed to be working in the second half. We would have won that game. Why would it have worked against the Redskins and not against these two teams?
Well, I mean, I think the Vikings and Packers probably have better rush defenses than Redskins, to be honest with you.
Okay, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
You're setting us up.
You got it right, man. You got that right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the difference. Right? It's been a tough 8 days. A lot of things going on that impacted on the game. Not the least of which was the opposition. I mean, those are two pretty good football teams. All right, Jeff, let me ask you a question, then I'll go back to John, and I'll be quick with these.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
We're 2-3, Jeff.
Yep.
You know, if you extrapolate and go all the way out, approximately a third of the way through the season, if you take the mid five games, if you take the end, not quite the end five games, there's one left at the end. We're 6-9 going into New Year's Day. Do you think? I happen to think this. Here's where I'm saving myself. I think we're going to be a better team, Jeff.
Yeah.
The second half of the season.
And why?
I think we got 22, 23. We went over the number. I don't remember what the exact number was before the season started. New guys on this roster. We got a new head coach who's never been a head coach at any level before. I'm not knocking McAdoo. Don't get me wrong.
No, it's a learning curve. I see what you're saying.
We got new assistant coaches. Everybody's trying to mesh. Everybody's trying to get it together. The guys are trying. I think those last eight games, when we play those division rivals, Philly, Dallas, Washington, as part of the last eight after Thanksgiving, we're going to be a lot better football team. That's my hope, but I think that's the case. Now, if that's not the case, John, let me go back to the Redskin game and,
okay.
And you know, perhaps say it this way. If we're 6-9 going into New Year's Day in Washington, I hope we're not talking to each other about the fact we got a lot of 6-10 players on this team, John.
You know, Len,
two years worth, and go back to 7-9, and you can find the bulk of the team 7-9, 6-10, 6-10. I hope I'm wrong. Not only do we have perhaps have a lot of 6-10 guys on this team, we got some 6-10 guys playing like they're 3-13 guys.
Well, Len, the thing is, though, too, is that there's been so many different players on this team the last 3 years. I mean, this roster turnover the last 3 years has been unbelievable. So it's not like they've brought the same players back each of the last three seasons. That's the only hole I would poke in your statement there. You know what I'm saying?
But that was your point at the beginning,
Len. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
No, that was your point at the beginning. You got a lot of new players on this team.
Yes.
And you're thinking that by the time a new head coach who's figuring things out on the run, so to speak, and so you're saying that by the time you get to the end of the season, you know, the Giants should be playing better, considering that they're healthy and that they figured things out.
That's what I'm hanging my hat on. I don't want to be sitting there on January the 3rd talking to you guys and saying, you know, we got a lot of 6-10 players on there, you know. It's the third year in a row that we've had Rashad Jennings as our main running back, and we've gone 6-10 3 years.
Len, trust me, no one wants to be traveling to Philadelphia on December 22nd and Washington on January 1st, not playing for playoff position.
Yeah.
Trust me, nobody wants to do that, and no one wants to be hosting shows those weeks either. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
We're 6-9 heading to Washington. No one wants that.
Look, we couldn't compete with these teams. We couldn't compete.
You know what, but Len, you know what, though?
Len,
you could compete with these teams. Both games were one-score games in the fourth quarter. I know neither game seemed that close from watching it. I get it. But the points are points. I mean, these games were not blowouts. It's not like they got hammered.
There has not been a blowout game yet.
It's not like they got hammered by these two teams. Now, were there huge deficiencies? Absolutely. And huge issues you can point to? Absolutely. But they weren't blowouts.
Here's my nightmare. I want to go back to January the 3rd. I want to go to January the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my nightmare. We're not sitting there saying we got too many 6-10 players on this team. I really hope. I'm hoping for the first scenario.
Well, that's your nightmare.
I mean, these guys have to play. The bottom line is we got to play better. Come on. I mean, we got some guys playing terrible football. I mean, you know, these two, you want to credit the opposition, you want to talk about distractions, you want to talk about travel. I mean, you want to throw all that in there, sure. Yeah, you can throw all that in if you want.
Nah, but
no, but everybody else has to do it too.
We got some guys playing bad football.
Yep.
Every other team has to travel.
It's guys that we count on. It's guys that we count on.
All right, Len. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, thanks for the time, guys.
Appreciate it.
Aside from, you know, production, from a skill standpoint, you look at what's happening with this team. Leading up to this game last week was turnovers and penalties. Okay, the first half, the Giants imploded again on penalties.
Correct.
Okay.
Only one turnover, which was an improvement.
Yep, and that was a fumble, not an interception. But, you know, yes, the team has to play better, and it starts with discipline from each one of those players. And I'm not telling you that, you know, Ben McAdoo doesn't have a disciplined team. I can tell you this from being a player in the league, as long as I was, that you expect every single player to go out on that field and take it into his own hands and play the game like it's supposed to be played, and that's playing it smart, okay? And I don't think that Green Bay – John was there. I don't think Green Bay is one of the loudest stadiums in the –
It was not that loud.
So I can't fault the offsides penalties for that. Eric Flowers has got to learn to do a better job at his protecting and getting his hands inside via Sean O'Hara will tell you that every single time. Because you know what? They're not going to call holding if your hands are inside on a tackle.
No, you can grab pad if
you
you're
can
in
grab
here.
Them in there.
If you're
okay?
out there, you can't.
But when you're looking down and the opposition is getting by you, your hands have to go out. So, you know, I'm just trying to tell you that it's up to each one of these guys in this team to take it upon themselves, look at themselves in the mirror, do a little self-scout and says, what do I have to do better, and go out and play collectively. This is not a bad football team, as John had just alluded to. These have not been blown-out games. The Giants are in all these games. In fact, you look at the last two games, we're sitting there going, okay, the Minnesota game, the Giants were one score away from tying the game. Late in the game, yes. Sunday night's game, the same thing. The Giants were one possession away from taking tying or taking the lead. I don't even remember what situation it was. But the fact is that they're not getting blown out of these games. And for all the stuff that the Giants are doing, offsides and penalties, and up until last week not getting any turnovers, this team has a chance if they can just correct. Until they stop beating themselves, they're never going to beat anybody. That's my theme.
And I don't think they beat themselves as much against Green Bay as they had the past couple weeks, mostly because of the turnovers. Now, the first half penalties were bad. No argument there. But I want to go a step further. Yeah, the self-inflicted wounds are one thing. You correct those, that still doesn't mean you automatically win. You have to correct the self-inflicted wounds, and then
it'll help
your stars need to start playing like stars. If you go down the list of who the Giants' stars are on this team, right?
Start with Eli.
Let's go through it. Has he played like a star this year?
No.
Has Odell Beckham played like a star
No.
this year? Has Victor Cruz played like a star this year?
No.
He had one really good catch. Has Sterling Shepard made any superstar catches this year?
No, I mean,
maybe one or two.
Yeah, but he's not a star in our mind yet.
Has Olivier Vernon disrupted the opponent's pass game? Been great against the run. Has
Both
he been super disruptive in the pass?
No.
JPP?
No.
DRC, has he been a star this year?
No. There has not one star has played like a star.
Snacks has been great against the run. Jenkins had his two picks last week. Tip the cap for that. But, again, you haven't seen enough star plays from the Giants' stars. You combine that with the mistakes, inability to score in the red zone, no big plays for scores.
And I think
you get 2-3.
McAdoo had said it last week that he felt that the offense was ready to break out, and that means those stars were going to play well.
Right.
You know
and this
I mean?
Is against a secondary, by the way, that was ranked 29th in the league, and we're down their two starting corners.
Yeah, yeah. But, again, the team game planned against them, and they won that game.
And remember what Beckham said 2 weeks ago. The cornerbacks, the receivers rather, don't have to just beat the corners. They have to get open before the defensive line gets the quarterback. So
right.
it's a two-way race there.
Sure. Yeah, and listen, when Eli is getting pressure and is being forced to throw the ball quicker than he wants to, like you had said, the Vikings game, I feel the same way. I think that he had a lot more time to throw the ball. But he was a little bit skittish.
Well, and guys also weren't open against the Vikings.
And
they did a great job in the secondary in that game.
Yeah, that's why Bobby Rainey was a leading receiver 2 weeks ago.
Right. And the thing about it too, Jeff, you don't see teams blitzing a lot either.
They don't have to.
Well, that's the thing. So
they can get to him with a four-man rush.
When you rush with four and you get to drop seven, you got seven guys covering five or six. Five, excuse me. You can't drop six guys in the pass thing. So
go. Here's the ball. Run.
Right.
Run.
I mean, if you're having seven guys, think of it. Guys, it's simple math when you think about this. If you don't have to blitz, and teams haven't been, and you're rushing four guys, that leaves seven defenders to cover. You have five offensive linemen and a quarterback. That's six. You have five remaining players on offense. So you have seven guys covering five. You play touch football in the park. You play touch football on the street. If you can have two guys just floating around and helping out wherever you want, it makes it a lot harder for the offense to be able to move the ball. And, again, that comes back down to running the ball early and getting that safety into the box. So it's all connected. 201.
Yeah, and one other thing that's connected is if and just go through me with the progression here. Mm-hmm. Okay, you start a game out. You get a nice little rhythm running the football. Okay, you're throwing the ball well. When you can run the football and you can throw the ball decently, it sets up for play action, which can get you the big play down the field. If you can't run the ball, there's no sense in running play action because nobody really cares about play action.
Teams are daring the Giants to run the ball.
Go ahead.
They want them to.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let's go to Mark in Chicago. He's been holding the longest. Mark?
Mark.
He's online too, Dave. How are you? Mark, what's going on, pal?
Hey, we got you.
You guys have taken away my whole analysis of the season here.
Sorry.
Many things I wanted to talk
That's
about.
Why you watch the show, because John and I are so good at it, right?
That's right.
Please.
So, anyway, I wanted to talk about the O-line, the run game, Eli, and OBJ on one point. But I think we have the hallmark of a 6'10 team or maybe even a 5'11 team.
Why is that, Mark?
Let me just give a couple of examples. You talked about the turning points of the last two games. Minnesota, it was the Harris fumble in the first quarter.
Yep.
Green Bay, it was a tie pass in the second quarter. If your turning points in the game are in the first and second quarter and not the fourth quarter, you have a bad team.
I think that's
I see your point.
I think it's a broad brush, but I understand your point.
Yeah.
I mean, we're hanging on. But when the turning points are that early in the game, it's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on, I agree with everything that you've talked about, the running game, setting up the play-action pass. I tried to talk about that last week when I called in. And it really relates to why Eli is back there. He has a swivel on his head when he goes back to pass. He doesn't trust his line. And if you look at Rodgers the other night, all of those 5- and 6-second plays – he started with a play-action pass because he had the running game going with Lacy.
Yep.
So I think the bottom line here is that the chickens have come home to roost a little bit on the offensive line. Len talked about the 22 new players on the team. None of those guys are on the offensive line. We have the same guys we had last year. We can't run block, and we can't move the ball. And unless we do that or get some defensive turnovers – or be more creative in our play calling, I don't see anything changing.
Well, I mean, it's we can't argue with that up to this point. I agree with you. The offensive line with, Bobby Hart started the last two or three games. You know, he wasn't in there last year, if you want to say that. But for the most part, that offensive line is still intact. But they all have got to play much, much better than they are, and we all know that. And I feel like this offense, if they could get their offensive line to play better and they can start running the football and get a little bit more consistency, if you will, because, I mean, I just feel like when we're watching the Giants, it's like you turn on the game and you're watching the Giants, it's like they're trying to put a square peg in a round hole on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch some of these other teams and games around the league, they make it look so easy. You know, I mean, just converting third downs and running the football and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants' offense is just a little bit out of sync at this point, but it all goes down to this. They all have to just individually play better football, really. And I don't know if that's working harder in practice or getting in the film room and trying to study the opponent a little bit better. I'm not telling you that they're not or doing – yes, they're doing this or they're not, they're doing – just trying to reflect a little bit about if I'm one of these guys, what do I got to do to make myself better to help the team win?
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
Hey, I have one question about OBJ.
Yeah, real quick.
One item comment about OBJ.
Sure.
And him running back punts. I mean, every time I see him back there in a punt return, I think Jason Sehorn, where he blew out his knee on a kick return in the preseason game. I don't think it's worth the risk. I think they should put somebody else back there. I know Harris was hurt, but
all right.
Well, Antonio Brown, he returns
punts
for Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. And you know what? Honestly, And I've always been in this camp, even when it goes back to, people complaining about them using – I forget, they were complaining about somebody being used on kicks a couple of years ago or punts or something. With the way this Giants offense – who is it, Dave? David Wilson. Yeah, people complain about using David Wilson on kicks because they want to use him as a running back. So,
yeah, but he's good at it.
Yeah, and look, here's the thing, guys. Do you want to win games? Because with the way the offense was playing – You weren't scoring many points play. On offense, so maybe Beckham can get you a punt return for a touchdown. Isn't the point to get the ball into the hands of your playmakers?
And the reason that Beckham was back there because Harris got hurt.
Right.
That's the only reason.
Correct.
They didn't say, oh, you know what, we're going to need a big play. Harris, you sit down. We're going to put OBJ in the game.
That's, and look, and a couple of people tweeted to us, Jeff, and they make good points. Like, look, a loss is a loss. It doesn't matter about how many points you lose by.
No, it doesn't.
No, and you guys, you're right. Absolutely right. But I think when you go out there and say, you know, the team is terrible and it's awful and, you know, there's no positives, you can say that if you lose 37-3. You can't say that if you lose by one score. I think that's the point. Now, a loss is a loss. You get judged by wins and losses, and you lose the game. That's all that matters. I don't care how much you win or lose by. But when you try to get a little bit deeper than that, that's when you go into in terms of size of the deficit. A quick question for you, Jeff, and this is a tough one, so I'm going to give it to you.
Thanks a lot, dude.
At team underscore AAM underscore JBeast.
A lot of underscores.
Why are the Giants still struggling like last year, even though they have a lot more weapons on offense, Crew Shepard, and more talent on the defensive side of the ball?
They're
told you it's a tough question.
Yeah,
that is a fair one though too.
All right, I'll start on defense. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is a tough question. Well, pass rush. Okay, and that's I don't know why this team cannot rush the passer. And you know what? I tell you, I know Snacks is good against the run, but you know he can be a little bit better. He's supposed to get some pressure inside.
He's also
too.
Not on the field much on passing downs either.
Yeah, but I mean maybe that shouldn't. Maybe they should put him on mm-hmm. there. You know, from the secondary standpoint, we go for injuries, okay? I mean, you got a lot of starters that are out of the game. Eli Apple, DRC, you got your starting safety that has been out. Now Nat Burhe is out. So I think that's a little bit of there, okay? So I guess my point there would be injuries and the defensive line with pressure. The Giants offense, okay, is the one that confuses me the most. And I have to tell you, I've thought about this, and I said it earlier. I believe that the reason when Vereen and Jennings have gone out of this offense, it has affected the running game, the passing game, and it has affected Eli Manning. That's all I can tell you about the offense. I think the offensive line has played decently up until this last game. Decently meaning they're not the best in the league, but they at least have been able to run the football at times here and there. They provided protection for Eli here and there, but certainly not last week. But really, I think that the key injuries have been with Vereen and Jennings being out of the lineup has really hurt this Giants offense.
At JC582691, John, what do you think of Kelvin Shepard's play in the middle in terms of getting turnovers? He had a chance to get that fumble recovery into the game, could have come up with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do we want to get on this subject again?
No, I don't. I mean, what you thought of Shepard's play?
I think it's been inconsistent. I think it's been good sometimes, and you know, I still think that, you know, I don't know. I don't think he's playing up to his capability.
Okay, fair enough. That's a couple of Twitter questions. We'll get back to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. Steve in Washington D.C. Steve-O, how are you, buddy?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, John? Jeff, how y'all doing?
Doing well, Steve. Long time no speak. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. Listen, you know, I got a lot to say, obviously, man. I really don't call too much lately, but I was wondering, man, can I get a little rant on?
The floor is yours, my friend. The floor is yours. Rant away.
All right, first of all, this is sorry, but this has nothing to do with the Giants, but everything to do with the Giants. Number one, I have a quick question, you know, and just let you know how annoying it is for me to see, look on the website to get my content and see all the stuff about Packers and Aaron Rodgers' interview. What the heck is that all about?
What are you talking about?
Like it. I mean, on the website, it's all this stuff. I mean, all the plays that they make, it just seems excessive. I don't know who did that this week, but they were very excessive with putting all the highlights from the Packers and putting Aaron Rodgers' post-interview. We never see a post-interview from a quarterback. I don't want to see Aaron Rodgers after he just beat our behind. I don't want to see that.
Okay.
Please.
Fair enough.
Put that in somebody's ear. I'm sorry. I know that's a little small thing, but
that's all right.
I just noticed that we don't do that with other teams. So, anyway, as you can tell, listen, I'm very, very angry because, you know, once again, we're losing games that we probably could have won if we're playing up to our capabilities. And we know what the obvious solution is. I'm not going to beat up Eli because I've done that in other places, you know, but I'm not going to do that because I know we can win with Eli, and that's really what your frustration comes from. I mean, we know the obvious questions. Everybody wants to say the offensive line, but the obvious thing is this. If you look at the offensive line, and particularly the run blocking, I'm not a fan of the shotgun run blocking. We do that entirely too much. And let me tell you why it's a problem. Because, first of all, our linemen can't even get a body on a body because the defensive linemen are running behind them. We're giving up our plays. Just 80% of our plays are totally recognizable. We're not doing anybody any favors, and we're not being physical because we're barely touching anybody on the plays. The thing, Eli is so much more effective when he has just a little bit more time to dissect the defense, and he doesn't have to be behind his feet. We're not giving him an opportunity or the line opportunity to even falter. We got to give Eli a chance. We got to give the play a little bit more time to evolve. If we need to move the launching pad, then so be it. Eli can certainly use a little bit more speed on his footwork, but the main thing is just to have steady footwork. So I don't care if we got to move him in the pocket or move the pocket. Something needs to be done. And that's really what's going to come down to my ultimate on the offensive side specifically. I have zero confidence in McAdoo being a play caller. None. I said this last year. And he has basically proven me right in my mind this far. He needs to pass the playbook. It's too much for him. He's a new coach, and that, I'm glad that the front office is letting him come to this realization on his own. Because if he doesn't get together, I'm going to be the first one advocating for him to get his stuff and get up out of here. Because we're letting all this talent slip. Okay, I'm not saying that we got world beaters, but here's the problem. I keep seeing these players underperform week in and week out, and I know it's coaching. And Spags is clearly not off the hook. And that's the problem with the defense. What little problems we do have, other than the injuries, is fatigue. Now he decides to finally start rotating players in there. I've been saying this for weeks. Let the young guys get some burn. Let them get the opportunity to mess up. They need in-game experience.
Now, Steve, real quick. I just want to make one comment on your thing on Spags, on rotating the guys into the game. They rotated in Okwara and Kerry Wynn on the Packers' second drive of the game after Green Bay
went three and out.
Yeah, they had that 9-minute drive. And this is what – let me find the drive here real quick. Against those Giants backups, this is what the Packers did on the drive when you had Okwara and Wynn in at defensive end. Eddie Lacy for 12, Eddie Lacy for 11, pass for 6, pass for 17, pass for 8, pass for 13, Lacy for 4. So what I saw when you took those two defensive ends out of the game, the run defense became significantly worse. And I think as bad as those two guys have been, and maybe bad is the wrong word, but as ineffective as they've been from time to time at getting to the quarterback, I do think JPP and Vernon had been darn good at stopping the run this year.
We
saw a lot of issues with the run defense when you took them out. And why not take one out at a time? Why have both of them off the field at the same time? You know what I mean? Stagger it a little bit more.
Well, I hear what you're saying. You make a good point for the obvious reasons. But the bottom line is our starters, I'm sure their numbers weren't too much better. But I really don't think you can really weigh fatigue. Regardless, these guys are on the roster. Number one, you got to get them experience because, God forbid, our starters get hurt. These guys got no experience, and they're going to have to go in sooner or later. So, to me, that's just it's not an excuse, especially when we're being let down by our starters. And really, like you said, that's been our strength this far anyway. And I really feel like that's our disadvantage is the fact that we're fatigued. And we know offensively you should always be at an advantage because you are the offense. You're dictating it. And that's where Eli is at his best. So keep making them speed up and make it, we don't have the identity, and we're not physical enough. And that's what I'm telling you. It's too much space between us and the defense. When our linemen line up, they're already back on their heels. That's why we can't get the consistent 4 or 5 yards no matter what. And like you guys already said, we got to stay with the run no matter what anyway. But we got to do it with convictions, like it's actually going to work, instead of just saying, we're going to slip a run in here right now. He does the same plays. Time in and time out. I'm not going to beat him to death, but I'm telling you, I just want to be on the record. I'm not a believer of Matthew. Not at all. I mean, he's right now he's on Macapulia. But anyway, I'm gonna get on this with Solution.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one yet.
I just want to keep it positive, man, and trying to come up with some solutions. You know, number one, McAdoo, you got to pass the playbook, man. You're in too deep right now, man. Pass the playbook. We need to come out of the shotgun a little bit more when run blocking. You know, and we got to move the launching pad for Eli. He's got to get out of there faster. Number one, you know, he's got to get out of there faster as far as his feet work, so he has more time, because you're talking about a second and a half, 2 seconds can make all the difference in the world. Eli was going to bounce back. We know he had a rough game, but I believe we can win with Eli. But you got to give him some time every now and then to dissect the defense, you know, and play with some confidence. We just feel like we're trying to sneak one past the defense, and not only are we, you know, tripping ourselves up, but we're offense is fatigued too, and that's where mistakes come in. Mr. Flowers, and I'm gonna leave him for last, and I'm not going to talk about what happened in the locker room. We're going to talk about what on the field. But, you know, the young guys, we need an identity. I've been long enough, so I'll just get into Eric Flowers real quick.
Yep.
My man, he's looking like Eddie Monster out there. I don't know if you ever seen anybody do the Monster Mash dance. Can't have it. It's time to go ahead and see what Beatty can do. Put him on the bench. Let's, you know, I see it enough. I call it to see it. Look, fundamental. We got an excuse now to go ahead and hope Beatty's ready, because Flowers is not the answer. Maybe he can do something right, but it's not his time right now.
Thank you, Steve.
I appreciate y'all letting me get off my chest. Y'all have a great show. I appreciate y'all, and I'll be tuning in. Thanks a lot, guys.
Love good the care. Passion, my man.
I just YouTubed the Monster Mash dance. I want to see it, but
play it.
I don't know if this is the right one. You know how there's all kinds of stuff that comes up.
I'm guessing the Monster Mash dance is a lot of this. It's a lot of that, which is what we see.
Yeah. Well, you know, he hit one thing that he said.
I guarantee if Paul Dottino was here, he would get up and
do the Monster Mash dance.
But no, I will not.
Confidence.
I will not have that on the internet forever. Trust me. That ain't happening.
Dave, do you find the Monster Mash dance? No?
Do you know what it is?
Do
you have any idea?
Anyway. But one thing that he mentioned is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
When this team starts to play better and get that confidence, that, you know, there's no reason why this roster, the guys that they have on this team, can't
win some games. The roster's good enough.
It's good enough.
In years past, and I know there were fair questions that maybe it wasn't,
okay,
but the roster's
good
enough.
Okay, but you know what? The offense is the same offense as it was last year, with a little bit more additions to it in a good way. Mm-hmm. I think the defense is better than the defense was last year in additions in a good way. They're just not playing the way that they should, Captain Obvious. But if they put it all together, they start winning, will cure a lot of different things. And if they can get one at Baltimore and then get on a little bit of a roll and get back to respectability here, this team will be fine.
All right. And I think, Jeff, too, what happens is that, you know, the roster is improved in a lot of areas, but can one big issue mitigate the ability of the other talented players to do their job the way they're capable of? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
you can have, you know, like, for example, let's say – you're playing basketball.
Well, has a trickle-down effect is what you're saying.
Right. Like, when you're playing basketball and you have four really good players on offense out there, right, but your fifth guy can't do a damn thing, all right? Well, do you know what the defense is going to do? They're going to leave that guy alone.
And put five on four.
Right. And I don't care how good your four guys are, it ain't going to matter.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's that simple for the Giants, but, you know, when you have one issue, for example, let's say you can't protect, that takes away a lot of your wide receiver's big plays. That takes away Eli Manning's strengths, because it has a trickle-down effect in everything else.
Yep.
That's the only point. Anyway, that's the only point I want.
And defenses, like you said earlier, if you can get to the quarterback by rushing four and maybe sometimes five guys, then you're going to see seven, six guys in coverage every single time.
All right, we'll take one more call, then we got to play Jeff Fiegel's game. Let's go to Robin in Atlanta. Robin, you're up next. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good,
Robin.
How are you?
All right, man. I just wanted to say something about what I think John had mentioned some last week about the big plays. I think we had last season we had 17 plays for, I think it was 30 yard plus or 20 yard plus.
Last year we had 17 scoring plays of 20 yards or more, and that was, I think, the third most in the league. And this year so far we just have one.
I just wanted to point something out, you know, that with those 17, even though we had those 17 big plays, our record was still 6-10. So that doesn't mean that we're gonna, you know, we gonna win games with the big plays.
No, it doesn't mean it, but it helps, and it shows. You know, actually,
yeah,
I think that
helps,
and I think, Robin, what that does actually it partially answers the question that Jeff was talking about, and he tried to answer from Twitter why the team is still struggling despite having better players and more talent. And I think one of the reasons it's still struggling is that the team isn't doing as well at the things it did well last year, even though they were just 6-10. So even though you're improving in other spots, that's great.
You're not improving in other ones.
You've gotten worse.
That you got, yes,
including
exactly.
Making big plays on offense. So I think, Robin, you bring a good point, and you kind of circled around to it. And I think, you know, not doing some of the things they did well last year to make the offense one of the best offenses in the league is coming back to bite them a little bit.
One of the – I'll throw a real quick statistic I added for our pregame last week is passes downfield 15 yards or more. The Giants were 6 of 8 in the first 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, not including the Packer game, they were 5 of 17. So there's your big plays down the field. I don't know what they were the Packer game, but so the inability to produce a big play down the field in the passing game has basically been taken away from them.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay, and I also wanted to just tip my hat off to the defense because I think the defense played good in that Green Bay game. That first drive where they took off 8 minutes off of the clock, I think that drive alone probably could have break us, but the defense kept us in, trying to give us back the ball, but just the offense wasn't doing anything.
Yeah. That was, you know, listen, the defense was on the field for 9 minutes and something seconds. I think John's got the play-by-play there. But
well, that's the other thing, too. And Robin, thanks for the call. We got to run. We're out of time. We appreciate it. Time of possession. I mean, and I want to give Mike McCarthy credit for something real quick. The Packers have always been known for that breakneck, you know, fast-paced, no-huddle offense, right? Well, the Packers' offense has struggled this year.
They huddled.
What did we see from the Packers on Sunday Night Football?
They huddled up, ran the clock.
And you know what the time of possession was in that game?
Yeah, I do. The Packers had it for almost 28 minutes?
37 minutes.
Wow. I don't know where that one came from.
No, neither do I. They had it for 37 minutes. The Giants had it for about 23 minutes.
But, you know, and really on the flip side of that, you could think that then McCarthy's like, okay, I got my starting two of my starting cornerbacks out of the game. I want to try to keep our defense off the field. Let's slow this game a little bit down. They go on a 9.5-minute drive the first quarter. Giants get one drive in the first quarter. And they deferred the kickoff, giving the Packers the ball, which I don't know. I didn't know what the wind was like there or anything like that. But
all right.
We'll see.
Since you've been such a struggle here, you lost 3 in a row.
Are you going to give me a layup?
It's time for everyone's favorite game.
I like this.
Did he play with Jeff Fiegels?
I don't have a great memory.
22 NFL seasons.
Wow.
Hundreds of players.
Fiegels with the Eagles.
Let's see who Jeff remembers.
You can make a mockery of my memory.
Here's your host.
That was just so...
John Schmelk.
Yes, you can all make right, a
Jeff.
Mockery of my memory.
Oh, and we will.
And you have.
So here's what we got.
What's my win loss?
You're 4-5. You've lost 3
a little
straight.
Under 500.
You were at 4-2, and much like the Giants the last few weeks,
right,
have started to fall.
Let me get my thinking cap on here.
All right, you ready?
Fabian Bones.
Here we go. Did you ever play with Marvin Allen?
Oh, yeah. Yes!
Okay,
yes.
No, you haven't won yet, Jeff.
Good.
What team did you play with Marvin Allen?
Eagles.
Incorrect.
No, come on.
No.
He was a running back.
Okay, that's good. You got two.
He went to Georgia or Auburn.
Tulane,
close.
All right, you had the position right.
Hold on, Marvin Allen. He was it with the Cardinals?
And he was a running back. No, that's not right either.
That's horrible. At least I knew I played with him. That counts, right? No, it doesn't.
You played with him. No, you have to get 3 out of 4.
Marvin Allen. Wasn't with the Eagles?
Nah, it was with the New England Patriots.
Marvin
Allen.
I went with the Eagles because it was close. Marvin Allen, yeah. Number 32?
I don't know what number he was. I can look that up. Okay, you know what? If you get his number right,
okay,
I'm going to give it to you.
Okay. I think he was number 32 for...
I'm clicking it right now. If he's 32, I'm giving you the win here. I'm being nice.
Because that would be pretty impressive in my mind.
Marvin Allen wore number...
34? 39. Ah! I can't say, oh, it should have been the 30s. That's all right, it was close. Oh,
he was with the Patriots from 1988 to 1991, and here's why I thought you were going to get this, and I was going to be a little bit nicer to you. He was a kick returner.
Yeah, I remember what he
did. The special teams guys all stick together. I thought you were going to get
it. No, you know what? Not as much as you'd think. Now, like I said,
I think maybe they're just not sticking around.
The
with
special
you.
Teams guys stick together. The kickers, the punters, and the snappers. That's about it.
Yeah,
that's
but
the only
you
special
deal
team.
With the return guys.
Marvin
he didn't return
Allen.
Any, he didn't
I remember.
Any punts,
I,
though.
Man, I remember Marvin. I see him. I see him. Yep, New England. That's it. Damn, I should have.
I love this.
Good thing I got off to a strong start.
Yeah, seriously. I really thought you were going to get this one because he was drafted. You was the rookie, the senior.
Yeah.
You were the rookies all hang out together. They get along.
That was just 1988. Just yesterday, right?
It's only 28 years ago.
Yeah, only. Wow. Rhino, do you think you can remember people? You know, nobody sees Rhino over here, but this is hard. It's hard, man. You know how many rosters I was on?
Hey, in 1988, I can name at least four of my classmates in third
oh,
grade.
At least four. Okay, big deal. Wow. Although we've got a long season to go. I'm
actually,
four and six.
I got a question. Dave Domlick of those BCS kids. What grade are you in when you're 7 years old?
Second.
You're in second grade. Okay. So I was in second grade that year.
Some kids are first if they get held back for kindergarten. Seriously, there are some kids that started six years old in kindergarten.
Oh, because they start kindergarten a little bit later.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's an incorrect answer. It's also a correct answer.
See, now, here's what I'm seeing here. I think you really need the Giants to win this week because you seem to be just following
the path of the
Giants right here. So we need you to step up your game, Jeff. Yeah, you know what? You were very – second week in a row, you were confident that you
I knew the player. I just didn't have the team.
Right.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Fabian Bones.
Yeah.
I knew that he was my teammate.
Last week, Garchell Johnson, you were lost on
that. No way. All right, well, that's a fun game. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah,
some, probably
I hope
some
so
of
too.
You don't, but that's okay.
That's
we're still going to continue to play it
because and we enjoy it.
We definitely enjoy it, and I enjoy the opening too of that to that game. By the way,
all right, Feegs, good times.
Thank you guys.
All right,
thank you.
We're not going to see Jeff until next Friday, so you have a lot of time without Feegles, and no Feegles on the pregame show Sunday either. He's abandoning us.
I'm abandoning
he's
you guys
being
for a week.
He's selfish. He's going down to sunny Florida.
It's getting cold. I have to go to Florida.
Yeah, he's going to play a lot of golf, and he basically
gonna play
said,
no golf.
I have better things to do than hang out with you losers up in New York.
That would be my family. Thank you. Let's not make it look like it's all everything. It's so great. It's my it is great. It's my family. Take that back. It is going to be great. You know what I meant.
Just keep digging yourself deeper,
Feegs.
Oh,
man. You know, and John and Datina, all you guys take pleasure in abusing me on the radio, by the way, when you're in your little booth at the away stadiums, okay? And by the way, I told Lance this. I had Randall Cobb last week as my fantasy player.
But you didn't use him.
And you guys got me on Jordy Nelson. I just threw up.
Time out.
You
brought Jordy Nelson up on your own. That had nothing to do with us. Don't blame us for your
and
mistakes.
I showed Lance. I go, look, I have it right here. It says Randall Cobb is my fantasy player, and I said Jordy Nelson. But anyways, all right.
You lose.
Again.
Good day, sir.
Again.
All right, that's everybody. Fine. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. We're going to grab some lunch. Hope you have a great day on Giants.com.
At least we'll get that right.